Romans 13. Title of the message today, The Day is at Hand. You've got 3 points. Be alert, light and dark, and the Lordship of the Master. As we've now worked our way through most of Romans, Paul's most extensive work. And as we now are looking at that practical application section, having laid the foundation for theology, for doctrine, we see in today's text that both hope and love are present. Paul urges the readers of this letter to grasp the importance of this time before the Lord's return. Love motivates you to identify with those in need, and hope is the canyon between the Christian and the worldling. Let me read that one more time. Love motivates you to identify with those in need. Hope is the canyon that exists between the Christian and the worldling. You and me have a confident expectation in Christ. The world does not have confidence. Romans chapter 13, verses 11 through 14. And that, knowing the time that now is at hand, is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we first believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. As we consider that imperative to remain alert, and to be able to recognize between light and darkness by surrendering to the Master, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Lord and our God, we bow before you. We thank you once again that you give us instruction both in what to believe and in how to behave. Lord, we pray that you would shape our hearts, renewing our minds, fashioning us according to your purpose and will. We pray that we would not only recognize that we are blessed, but that you intend for us to be a blessing. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Be alert. The promise of Christ's return hovers over every believer. If you are a child of God, His return is imminent. In fact, the Lord will return in your lifetime. Either He will return at the second coming for all of us, or He will return for you at the moment of your death. But He will return one way or another in your lifetime. His return is bookended by the two Advents. His first Advent and his second Advent. He came the first time in humility. He came the first time identifying with humanity, being laid in a feeding trough, born to peasants, looked on by shepherds. But when he comes again, he will come as king and as judge. But in the meantime, temptation remains. You and me will be tempted today, tomorrow, the next day. Until we take our last breath, you and me will be tempted. You will be tempted to indulge in pleasure. And you will be tempted to think that the Lord's just delaying his return. Or that perhaps he's not going to return at all. Because there are false teachers out there, just as there were in the first century, who are saying the Lord's delaying, or he's not going to return. Or as in some cases, specifically in Thessalonica, the Lord's already returned, as some false teachers would have you believe. Resist the temptation. Don't hear what everyone says. Hear what the Word of God says. Resist the temptation to indulge in pleasure. Paul told us in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 of the importance and the centrality of the resurrection. Why? Because without the resurrection, we have no reason to be here. We have no reason to assemble as a group of people. Without the resurrection, you and me may as well eat, sleep, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. But thanks be to God, there was a resurrection as a historical event in Christ's resurrection. And there is resurrection each time you and me surrender to Jesus as Lord. Salvation is a gift received, a continuing protection, and an anticipated result. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 2. Remember, salvation is a gift received. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. But it, not only is it a gift received, it is a continuing protection. A continuing protection. Turn back to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. The first two verses point to that continuing protection. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand. He preached it, you received it, and wherein you currently stand, because it is a continuing protection. Salvation is a gift received, a continuing protection. And turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 1. First Peter chapter 1, verses 7 through 9, we see that it is not only that gift received, not only that continuing protection, but it is an anticipated result. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 7. That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom, having not seen, ye love, in whom, though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. Salvation is justification, sanctification, glorification. You were justified. The moment that you confessed your sin, repented, and surrendered to Jesus, Lord, God looked at you just as if you had never sinned. And right now, He is sanctifying you. Sometimes the heat gets turned up, puts a little more wood on the fire, so the impurities will rise to the surface, so then He can skim those impurities off until the day He's able to present you to Himself, pure and blameless. As a believer, you can be content knowing that with every passing moment, the end is that much closer. Close your eyes just for a second. The end is that much closer. Think about that. Every time I snap my fingers, the end is that much closer. Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 17. Of course, the major theme of Philippians is service. Paul writes to the Philippian church in chapter 3, verse 17, beginning with 17. Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so, as ye have us for an example. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you, even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, whose glory is their shame, who mind earthly things. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto His glorious body, according to the working whereby He is able even to subdue all things unto Himself. The unbeliever, the non-elect, those of this world have an end that is destruction. For their God is their belly. Their glory is their shame. But for you and me, as the elect of God, He will change this vile body here according to His glorious body. Do you have sickness in your body? Do you have disease in your body? Do you have pain in your body? Guess what? With each passing moment, you are that much closer to having no more sickness, no more disease, no more pain. Death is not the end for believers. Death is not to be feared for believers. For death is just passing from life to life. When you close your eyes here, you will open your eyes in glory. Not only do we see the imperative to be alert, but we see a contrast between light and dark. Light and dark is a common theme throughout the New Testament. Jesus spoke of the light that's in a room, that no man puts a bowl or a dish over it to cover it, but sets it in a prominent place so that it can give light to everybody. He says that you and me are to be like a city set on a hill with a shimmering light. John writes in his epistle of the contrast between light and dark. Jesus even said that he is the light of the world. Darkness represents evil and sin. Darkness represents evil and sin. Turn with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. While darkness represents evil and sin, light identifies those who experience salvation. If you've ever had cockroaches or water bugs or any type of bug like that, you know that when you enter into the room and you flip the switch on, that those bugs, they scatter. That's the same way it is with the world. When the light of the gospel, when the light of Scripture, when the light of Jesus is shown, the world tries to scatter because they cannot stand the light. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 1. But of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. When they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night. They that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with Him. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together, and edify one another, even as also ye do. You remember 1 Corinthians 13, the very end? And now these three remain: faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love. The Corinthians needed to know something about love. When Paul wrote here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, they needed to know something about hope. And so look at what verse 8 says one more time. But let us who are of the day. In the daytime you have light. We who are Christians have the light of the world, who is Jesus. We are of the day. Be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. Faith, love, hope. You and me need hope. We need that confident expectation. Because we're of the day, we don't have to worry. We don't have to fear the night. The night is when folks who have ill-hearted means carry out their business. But you and me are of the day. Children of light will be involved in warfare. Show me one scripture where you and me are to be nice. We're to be loving. But nowhere in scripture are you and me called to be nice. Not all love looks the same, is it? Anyone who's raised children knows that there's some acts of love that are painful, that break your heart, even as your child experiences physical pain. But correction, discipline, is love. You and me are called to walk through this world engaged in warfare. You and me are called to call out sin for what it is, to speak against evil. Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 20. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, the breastplate of hope and love, of faith and love, the helmet of salvation. We saw that in 1 Thessalonians. Now we're told again, put on that whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, and having done all to stand. What do you do after that? Supposed to just sit on the premises on your blessed assurance? When you've done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. there's sometimes when you got the privilege of having one of these on hand, whether in print or digitally. But there are going to be other times when you don't have the privilege of having one of these on hand, in print or digitally. What are you going to do in that moment? The psalmist said, I've hidden thy word in my heart that I might not sin against God. If you don't hide his word in your heart, then guess what? You will sin against God when the moment comes. The time to train is not when you're in the foxhole. The time to train is when you're stateside. When you're in the barracks. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints, and for me that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that wherein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. You need armor for protection. You've probably heard this before, but what do you notice about the armor that Paul describes here in Ephesians? Every piece of the armor covers your front side. There's not a single piece of armor here covering your backside. Which is indication that there is never a time to retreat. Because if you retreat, you're exposed. And the enemy will see you as a target. Roman soldiers wore armor that covered only their front side. And you know, one of their tactics is they would stand arm to arm in a circle, and they would move forward in lockstep. So that in any direction, they were all covered. Why is it important to be part of a covenant community? Because if you're out there by yourself, you're exposed because you've got no armor back here. It's important to be part of a covenant community because we take this territory, this earth, by force together. We are not special ops. There is no such thing as an army of one. Fortunately, the army did away with that slogan. Or at least I think they did, because I haven't seen any more commercials about it. Christians must live as though that final day is already here. Are you and me living like today is just another day? Or are you and me living like the final day is already here? Are we living with the expectation that Jesus could return at any moment? Or are we just eating, drinking, being merry for tomorrow we die? Which is it? Someone once said, work like it all depends on you, all the while knowing that it all depends on Christ. When we live as though this is the final day, we recognize that this day brings with it the presence of Christ. Every conversation that you have in which Christ is glorified, every time you share the gospel of Jesus Christ and Him crucified, the kingdom grows. Christ's presence expands. But when you and me bury our talents, when you and me hide our lamp under a bushel, then we are living as if this is just another day, and that Christ is simply delaying or not coming at all. Finally, the Lordship of the Master. Putting on the Lord Jesus. Turn with me to Galatians chapter 5. Strike that. Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3, verse 27. Thinking about putting on the Lord Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. On the surface, that seems like a past tense event, doesn't it? It seems like something that happened in the past. You were baptized into Christ. You put on Christ. But that's not the case at all. The Greek uses the aorist tense, so that putting on Christ is a deliberate, a conscious recognition of His Lordship as Master. Each and every morning, you and me are to continue putting on Christ deliberately, consciously, recognizing that He is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Your motives, your desires, your deeds are what? They are in His control. Put on Christ. And when you put on Christ, your motives, deeds, and desires are in His control and not your own. The redeemed man must be attuned to the Savior and exercise vigilance against the flesh. We saw in Romans chapter 7 that war between the old nature and the new nature. That war between the flesh and the spirit. The spirit is born again. The spirit is born of God, like John would say in his first letter. And because the spirit is born of God, it does not sin. But the old man, the flesh, is corrupt and damnable. And you and me, as redeemed men and women, must be attuned to the Savior, to your Savior, to my Savior. And be vigilant, fighting the flesh, putting your flesh in subjection to the Word of God. How do you and me put the flesh in subjection to the Word of God? Well, you got to be in the Bible. The old saying, an apple a day keeps the doctor away, does not work with the Bible. A little bit of Bible once a week does not keep the devil away. How often should you be in the Bible? Every single day. Because the devil and his minions are at work every single day. Do you constantly reckon yourself dead to sin and alive to God? Are you dead to sin right now? And are you alive to God right now? Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we bow before you. As those beseeched, presenting our bodies as living sacrifices, holy and acceptable to you. That is our reasonable service. Lord, we are already clean. Only our feet need to be washed. Wash us now. In your name we pray. Amen.